So as I say, we were talking this morning about, I didn't say what we were talking about, but the team was here, and I was sort of, beginning of the year team meeting, and God was ministering through his word and through some testimony, which isn't normally what I would choose to do, but I did share some stuff about times in my life when I'd let something go in order to follow God, in order to be obedient, and there were quite sort of major things at different times. And as I left at lunchtime, I felt a bit down. I thought, did I talk too much about myself, sort of thing? And I didn't know that anyone had really got anything from it, and all that sort of stuff. The usual sort of clobber you get from the Lord. But you see, and I went home and sort of sat there and did some stuff. And halfway through the afternoon, I thought, well, okay, Lord, what do you want to do tonight? And he started looked at the scriptures, couldn't find anything, couldn't get any. So I just stopped and sought the Lord, and then he led me to some scripture on the kingdom, which I'm going to share in a minute. And then he started to fill me with the Spirit. Just his glory filled me. And the shed, at least it felt like the shed was full of the glory. This is my office at home, the shed. It's not really a shed. Well, it is, but it's a nice shed. And it's just wonderful. And I just believe God was saying, I mean, sorry for those who weren't here this morning, but I think God was saying, look, I want to affirm the message of the cross and the walk of faith that takes you through the cross. And in a sense, there's a real profundity there's a profundity always when we choose to let something go in order to walk into the thing that God's got for us. And it's not always easy. I was really saying this morning how sometimes when we want to increase in our spiritual life, go up to the next level or get more anointing or something, we tend to sort of pray more or sing more or fast or something. But quite often what God wants us to do, instead of doing something more, instead of more activity, he wants us to let go of something. Abraham let go of his son. God let go of his son. And other people let go of different things. And stages in our Christian life, God asks us to let go of something. It may not be a bad thing, it may be a good thing. Because we were remembering this morning, of course, that when Jesus died and we died with him, it was the whole of us who died. It wasn't just the bad bits. I have been crucified with Christ. The good and the bad. The bits that you consider to be good about yourself, they died too. So we're not to live and minister out of those bits. We're to minister out of the resurrection life that is now in us. It's gone. The temperature's dropped again. Difficult room to keep right. There are times in our lives as disciples, as we follow Jesus, where we have to let go and die to something, if you like, in order to walk into the new thing. And I'm sharing some of those instances. You see, the cross is at the heart of all of the Christian life, isn't it? I mean, we can speak about the victory and all that stuff and all the great things God has for us and all those. And it's true, all those things are right. But it always comes out of death first. Death, then resurrection. Death, then resurrection. Jesus died, then was resurrected. And the kingdom, the Spirit was poured out. Anyway, that's briefly what we're talking about this morning. But I just want to sort of go in that flow. But I want to talk about the kingdom. Because these are the scriptures that God showed me this afternoon. And we'll just see where it takes us. I'm actually reading them out of the Truth Version, which is Colin Urquhart's interpretation, not really a translation. So you can look at them if you want, but they'll be slightly different. So let's just start and go down them. I'm just going to talk about them as we go. So Matthew 13:11, he replied, "The revelation of the secret things of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to everybody." Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one quite quickly. But you see, the revelation, we need revelation of the things of the kingdom. We can't work them out in our natural self. However bright we are, however intelligent or academic or what, we can't work out these things. We can't make sense of the Bible without the revelation, without the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, without the Holy Spirit bringing it alive for us. And of course, this is what we trade in here, isn't it? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation, with the Word of God coming alive. But you see, we need to know what the kingdom is. And it's only recently that the kingdom is being restored to church mainstream mentality. And there's always been parts of the church that have got hold of it. But you now actually find people talking about the kingdom in mainstream church, which is, you didn't 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago. It's coming and people are beginning. God is restoring a revelation of the kingdom. And you see, the kingdom is so important because it's the kingdom that we carry and which we release. Jesus builds his church. We're to seek the kingdom. We were talking about this last week, weren't we? Let Jesus build his church. Let him do that. Our job is to... So like you guys were talking, you weren't trying to get people to join the church out doing what you were doing. You were seeking to send the kingdom. Yeah. It didn't matter to whether the person was interested in what church you went to or if they ever seen them again or if they ever come to this church or not. It doesn't matter, you know. It's the kingdom that counts. It's the revelation of the secret things of the kingdom of heaven that's been given to you, but not to everybody, as he said. And you know, we can seek God for those secret things of the kingdom. It says somewhere he shares his secrets with his friends. Shares his secrets with those who fear the Lord. And this is the, you see, you know, why do we do all this seeking God? Well, there are things God wants to share with us, wants to show us, that otherwise we don't get to see. And as we seek God and spend our life seeking first the kingdom and moving towards him, it's because we want him to give us more revelation. We want to understand more. We want to see more. We want to understand the kingdom more, because this is our currency, the kingdom. We're called to seek the kingdom and to extend the kingdom. That's our job, not to extend the church. God extends a church, that's up to him. But you don't need a big church to impact the world. You need big people. Matthew 13, 31, 33. Jesus told them a further parable. The kingdom of heaven can be likened to a mustard seed. Now, see, all Jesus' parables are about the kingdom, and they all tell us something about how the kingdom works. And so if we want to know about the kingdom, we need to be reading the parable and getting hold of it and saying, God, reveal, what does this mean? Tell me what this means. But you see, to me, the mustard seed is have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. It's the tiniest of all seeds. If you put one in your hand, you could lose it. You know, it's tiny. But he says the kingdom's like a mustard seed. Why not a big seed? You know, why not something more grand? No, a mustard seed, something tiny, which a man planted in his field. Although this is such a tiny seed, it becomes a large plant. And then a tree, big enough for the birds to come and perch in its branches. Now, see, in terms of, you know, many are becoming Bible teachers or ministers of the word in some way, shape, or form. You don't have to be a formal teacher to be able to spread the word and speak the word to somebody. And you guys who are coming to college, you're going to be full of the word all year, and you're going to be growing. And just like Brenda said, I mean, Brenda hasn't been saying boo to a goose all year, but then she opens her mouth in Manchester, and out it comes. Yes. But that's what happens. You sit and receive with faith, with an open heart, the revelation, or God puts in your spirit, the revelation of him and the kingdom. Don't worry about your head and what he's thinking. Just get it in your spirit, and then one day when he releases it, you're amazed at what he's put in. Yes. Amazed at what he's put in. And that's how it works. It's astonishing how when, you know, God puts something in our spirit and then one day we find we're able to, the spirit draws it out of us and seems to make sense of it while we're saying it. And I've had that experience, almost standing back watching myself teach, saying, goodness, where did that come from? Getting revelation while you're on your feet as well. Where did that come from, God? So, but you see the kingdom, you see, when we're preaching, when you're preaching, when you're out the word witnessing, and when you're preaching, when you go to Africa, and preach in Kampala, or go to visit Paul in Kenya, or go to the Congo, whatever it is, when you stand up and preach, less little old you, who's just been to the college for a few terms, you stand and preach, so you're speaking something that's going forth like a little seed. But there's a purity in it because it's coming from your spirit. It's something God has put in your spirit. It's not you making it up. It's not tainted with your thoughts or your... It's something God's put in you, the new creation, and it comes forth with resurrection, life, and anointing, and it just plants itself in someone who's listening. And you don't necessarily know. There are clues. If you watch Faces, you can see something of what God's doing. Sometimes it can be deceptive as well. You know, you can see that someone, the lights have suddenly come on. Wow, got it. That's revelation. And it's a little thing. and it goes into their heart. And then that little seed, you fly back to England and dum ba dum ba dum ba dum, and then one day that meanwhile that little seed is growing. The little seed that you deposited, is growing. You see, Brent, all seeds that Brenda's been receiving all year, and we think, is anything happening there, you know? Then she goes to Manchester and opens them out, and out it comes. It's becoming a plant. And that plant then becomes a tree. And the tree, others come and shelter in the tree. Because what's been planted is not something of the natural self. It's the God thing. It's the revelation. It's the eternal thing. It's the thing that contains his, you know, a seed, if you look, if you put it under a microscope, it'll contain, I don't know, I'm not a biologist, but it'll contain something that's life, that's potentially life. It's got to die first. It's like we're talking about this morning. It's got to die. The husk's got to die. But then inside, there's something there that springs forth with life. You see, when it's a thing from God, it'll spring forth and produce something that is astonishing. And it doesn't depend on the person's brain or background. It's about receiving it with faith and then understanding that God nurtures the seed. When you're a prophetic Bible teaching, you just go and sow the seed. And then come back and say, thank God for all the things you've done. Thank you. And listen, our favorite verse, isn't it? Isaiah 27. The Lord watches over, where is it? This is the watchword for where the Spirit, really. Sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. That means he watches over the seeds that he's put in people. That's why you don't have to worry about it. Don't worry whether that person's doing this with that seed or not doing that. Don't worry. You've sown the seed. God now will watch over it. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. You see, he's brought the seed forth. He's going to water it. You don't have to be there. Someone else might be involved in the watering of it or whatever, but it does not have to, you know. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. Praise God. One day I will fill the whole world with fruit. Jacob will fill the whole world with fruit. Israel will fill the whole world with fruit. And that's a word that God's spoken to us. One day the word of the Spirit will fill the whole world with fruit. How does it work? It works because you sow seeds that are cut into a good heart, planted, a pure seed of revelation, and then you then sow it forth and with faith, and then God watches over it and waters it and plants it. And this is what we're doing, guys. You don't worry about what you see in front of your eyes, you know, what's happening or what's going on with this person or that ministry. Just our job is to get up and to produce the seed. Well, first of all, receive it. Receive it as revelation. Receive the word of God as revelation in our spirits. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. Listen, no one can ever rob you of the revelation that God gives you. No one, they can take many things away from you, but they can't take that. If God's shown you he loves you, you've got that forever. If he's shown you he's this, he's that, you've got it. It's yours. And you guys who struggle with thinking sometimes, I know some people do, as students, they come and think, how can I take all this information in? Listen, it's not about what's in your mind, it's about what's in your spirit. It's about the seeds that he's sown in your spirit. If it's sown into you and you receive it with faith, it's there. God's watching over it. He'll water it. And he'll do what he wants with it. This is how the kingdom operates. This is our currency. Seek first the kingdom. It's not how the world operates. We're not called to operate how the world operates. And it's about time the church grew up and got out of worldly ways. Because it doesn't work worldly ways. It works in kingdom ways. I don't mean our church. I mean the church. Although it's such a tiny seed, it becomes a large plant, then a tree big enough for the birds to come and perch in its branches. Do you ever think that you could... I mean, the birds perching in branches are people coming to shelter under your branches. Could you imagine that God would ever do that in your life? He'd make you someone who's got branches and people coming to shelter under your branches. Well, naturally speaking, you might think it's the last thing on earth that's going to happen. But spiritually, there's nothing stopping it, guys. If you receive the seed, allow God to watch over it and cooperate with what he's doing, you know, and keep staying in faith and walk with the Lord, make a big tree out of your life of ministry. In yet another parable, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman mixed into a large amount of flour. The yeast permeated the whole lump of dough. See, that's what the kingdom's like. That's another picture of the kingdom. That's what it's like. you know, if you go and preach somewhere or something, or minister, or just talk to people, you know, whatever. Actually, what you need is, when you're preaching, all you want is one person to get it. One person to get it, it'll permeate the rest. You know, you can't expect everyone to get everything all the time, but you're looking for the light scum somewhere. Has someone got the revelation? I've got it, I'm excited about it, I'm speaking it. Has someone else seen it? Yes, right, we're okay. Because now it'll permeate through the lamp. Through the lamp.
Yes.
We can agree. Two or more agree. Jesus knows the power of agreement. Because the power of agreement of Babel was such that he had to scupper their plans. They agreed together, they're going to do something. Yeah. You know, power of agreement works both ways. So things go through, which is why it's important when you're in pastoral ministry or in this sort of stuff, where you need someone, you need to be discerning and watching what's coming into the body. Because the wrong thing will permeate the wrong thing. So we keep the bad things out and keep the good things in. Keep the good things permeating throughout the body. So speak the revelation. You see, today, here all the time, we've got revelation. We've got the word of God being preached. Revelation, the kingdom being sown. Day after day. You're under such a torrent of revelation here. You are blessed. You have no idea, really, what God will be doing in your life when you're here. You really don't know. And one day, you'll go to Africa or something, and you'll say, wow, what Richard said is true. It actually works. And you'll come back and say, hey, it was great. And I'll say, I know. Because that's how it works. It's not about who you are, it's about getting hold of the stuff and just walking in obedience and faith. That's how it works, guys. There are many in this room who've been out preaching around the world and seen God move. So it's like the yeast. You speak faith, you speak life, and just let someone get hold of it. See someone get it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man found hidden in a field. He was so overjoyed that he concealed it again, went and sold everything he had so he could buy the field and own the treasure. This is what the kingdom is. The treasure is the kingdom. Be clear about it. Parables are about kingdom. It's not about Jesus. And it's about kingdom. It's about salvation. It's about the kingdom. He discovered the kingdom and was so excited about the kingdom. He quickly buried it again and went and sold everything he had to buy the field. And I was giving testimony this morning, and that really was very much describes what went on in my life when I came down to Rofi in 1994. You know, God showed me this kingdom. I've been a Christian 15 years, I haven't got a clue about the kingdom. But now I'm seeing the kingdom and receiving the kingdom and life in the Word, you know. And in a sense, I went back, gave up my job, and came and said, this is what I want, this is what I'm after. So left my job, sold my house, boom, this is it. Buy the field. Because when you discover the reality of what the kingdom is, I tell you, you will not want anything else in your life. You might get confused, you might think you do, but you'll wander off, you'll come back and you'll say, hang on, I need the kingdom. Maybe you find somewhere else with the kingdom, great, but you know, I need the kingdom. Jesus, I need the kingdom. I've touched the kingdom and nothing else is going to do it for me. I don't care what it costs, I want the kingdom. And you see, the kingdom is that valuable. It's that precious. It really is. It's eternal. It's the king is Jesus. And the kingdom is his area of authority and power. Of course you want the kingdom. We're called to be kingdom people. And so sometimes it's black and white like that, and sometimes it's less black and white over a number of years. But one way or another, he gets us. He shows us something we can't resist. I want that life.
Yeah.
Beware, it will cost you everything. Go sell everything first to buy the field, then it'll cost you your reputation, then it'll cost you this, that, and the other, da-di-da-di-da. Could cost you all sorts of things along the way. Similarly, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who sought the finest pearls. So imagine him going out looking for all the finest pearls. He discovered one of such great value that he went and sold everything he had to enable him to buy that one pearl. The pearl is the kingdom. See, it's not about church. Jesus is building his church. It's the kingdom of God. How does it operate? How does it work? Because we're teachers of the kingdom. And you go out and teach us the kingdom. Sell whatever you need to get it. not that everyone's got to always sell their house. You know, God does it in lots of different ways. But I tell you, once you have invested like that, because you really want it, once you've made that sort of investment, you're in. What was it Jesus said? Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart is. It's almost the wrong way around, you'd expect. Where your treasure is. So, in other words, quickly, what is it that you value in life? Boom. Quick answer, because that's where your heart is. What is it you most value? That's where your heart is. Where have you put your money? That's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that tells you where your heart is. It's not a condemning thing. It's good to know where your heart is. Because then you can cry out to God for a fresh revelation. So he sold everything to enable him to buy that one pearl. Matthew 24:14. Despite all this, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world. Gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world. Like these pearls of revelation, these seeds are going to be preached in every nation, including Africa and Nagaland. It's already been preached, but it can be preached again in Nagaland and all these other places. And you see God's raising up a people all over the place who won't count the costs. It won't, because they're following the king of the kingdom. They've got all this incredible revelation in them that God's put in them. And there are seasons in our lives, aren't there? There are seasons when he says, come, receive a whole fresh load of revelation. And there are seasons he says, right, out you go and do something with it now. You know, there are seasons, but it's quite appropriate to have a season where you come, open your heart and life, and receive the life, the word, the spirit, the revelation of the kingdom. Receive it, get it in your spirit. And then in the right season, you then get up and go and you open your mouth and it starts pouring out. You say, that's amazing. But it does tell us in Psalms, open your mouth and you'll fill it. You see, what happens is you open your mouth, and when you're standing in faith, you open your mouth and out comes the stuff he's put in your spirit. If he's not in faith, if you're trying to do something out of your natural self, it's not going to be the same. You'll say some stuff and it may be good, it may be helpful, but it's not the same. Doesn't contain the same potential to create a tree of the kingdom where others are going to come and perch under your branches. Hasn't got the eternal thing. It's got your cleverness attached to it, but not the eternal thing. And you'll hear tomorrow, you guys who are on the part-time course, Wednesday and Thursday morning, about the secret and the wisdom of God and the secret of God and the revelation. And that's like a basis of the part-time prophetic Bible teacher course, to understand these things. Paul talks about it a great deal in the New Testament. So sell whatever you need to, guys, to get it. Do whatever you need to, because it's worth it. Preach throughout the world so that all nations may hear the truth. You see, they want to hear sermons. It doesn't say everyone hears some sermons. It says you hear the truth. Jesus says the truth you know that sets you free. And that's true. It's the truth you know where the lights... it's the truth that causes the lights to come on. I was going to church, class as a good evangelical charismatic church for 15 years before I had a clue about any of this stuff. And I've often said, for 15 years, all I can remember is one sermon that was preached. I used to go twice on Sundays, I can remember one sermon. And that's because he had an illustration, a pile of books one day, and he said, if you carry all these books around, if you're X pounds overweight, it's like walking around with these books. Now, the power of the illustration, that's why I remember it. But the interesting thing is, 15 years of hearing someone preach twice, I don't remember anything else he said. I mean, he was a lovely guy and he was interesting and I went along. You know, he was a nice, ordinary sort of church. But then I started hearing truth. Paul says in Ephesians, when you first heard the word, you were included in me when you first heard the word of truth. So I've got to ask myself, was I born again before that? I don't know. But I know I certainly was when I started hearing the word of truth. I started hearing anointed teaching. It transformed me in a moment. I didn't have to go and study it and think about it for a year and a half. Get an exam, I was changed. Amen. That's the power of the gospel, the power of the truth, the power of the truth of God. It's the truth you know that sets you free. He didn't say it's the truth that sets you free. If it was the truth that sets us free, we'd all be free. He said it's the truth you know that sets you free. You've got to know it. It's got to be there. You've got to say yes. Isn't it funny? Because, you know, when we're born again, we've already got everything. Ephesians, we know that from Ephesians. You've got every spiritual blessing. He's put everything in us. The moment we're born again, we've got everything. And when you get a revelation, for the first time you hear something and you didn't sort of know it before, do you get that leap in your spirit and that almost you want to say out, yes, that's right, I knew that. That's the feeling of, I knew that because it's in my spirit already. I just hadn't realized it or formed words to express it. But now you're speaking those words, yes, that's right. You agree with the preacher, yes, that's right. And very often, that, you know, I mean, not every preacher will always speak something that's right. So sometimes you think, not sure about that, but let's move on. That's right. Yes, that's right. I agree with that. And it helps us. It's the spirit in us. It's the life. It's everything God's put in us already. You see, it's totally different from the world. And we've got to learn to think kingdom, to understand the mechanics of the kingdom, which is always by faith. So we have to lay hold of these things by faith and make them work in our life by faith. They're not going to work automatically. They work by faith. As we seek understanding and open our hearts and lives to receiving God's teaching. He says you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the Anointed One in you. He says you don't need any teacher. You've got the Anointed One in you. The Holy Spirit's teaching you. He doesn't mean don't listen to teachers. He means you don't actually need a teacher. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. But nevertheless, I'll send you some teachers because they're part of my gift to the church. And if you listen to them, you'll be built up. You know. But the Spirit in you is working with you to know and to grow and to... See, we've been looking at Jeremiah recently, and you know this gospel of the kingdom being preached in all nations. That's what we're doing when we go abroad. We're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah says, you know, you'll uproot, you'll destroy, you'll plant. Doesn't he? You'll plant, you'll sow. Did he say sow? I think he does. Sow and plant. And that's what we're doing. That's our work. I mean, the work is to believe, but out of the work of faith that comes out from the faith is to follow the Lord and to be sowing, to be planting, uprooting what? Worldly ways of thinking. Worldviews that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God, because we all come with them. It takes a moment to come out of the world, but it takes a lifetime for the world to come out of us. And you need to sit under regular truth. Before we start to really think, I'm still learning. Boy, I'm still learning. And I've got strongholds here and there about this way of thinking, about worldly, and God's still at work in my life, as I'm sure he is in yours. You've got to apply yourself to get a kingdom mindset. You've got to want it. You've got to put yourself in the place where you can hear it, where he's going to give it to you. Don't just go anywhere and expect God, oh, God's full of grace, he'll do it. No, go where you know you'll get the truth. Yes. Put yourself under the truth. It's not about whether the person's a nice person, you know, oh, he's such a nice vicar, I don't want to. But put yourself where the truth is, under the anointing of God. Mark 1:15. It is time! God's kingdom is now within your reach. Kingdom is at hand. That God's kingdom is now within your reach, he said, didn't he, when Jesus came out preaching. Turn away from your lives of sin and believe the good news that you can have a new and better life. That's quite a good interpretation, isn't it? It's time. God's kingdom is now within your reach. Turn away from your lives of sin and believe the good news that you can have a new and better life. It's at hand, guys. The kingdom of God is always just at hand, ready to break in. You've got a problem, you've got a challenge, you've got something in your life that's not working out. Well, the kingdom of God is hovering, waiting to break in. Reach out for it. Get God's wisdom. Get his revelation. And then repent. Turn away from the way you've been trying to work it out. And walk in the good of what he shows you. Mark 3:14-15. He then appointed 12 of them to be apostles, those who would be with him consistently and who he could send out to preach the gospel of God's kingdom. With the authority to free people from the demonic spirits that oppose the kingdom. See, that's the reality of it. We're setting people free. We're not going to educate them. We're not going to just give them a little bit lesson on the heirs of the prophets. We're going to set free. And that's the delight of watching these Africans in Kampala. They're being set free, school after school after school, and it's becoming solid in them. And you can see the freedom in their faces. You can see it in their lives. I don't know, Paul, if you notice when they come back to Kenya. Hopefully you do see change in these people, because they're sitting under the truth and they're changing. They're being set free from the things that have oppressed them and held them back. Like things always oppress and hold us all back if we... You know, the whole world system oppresses us and holds us back until we get the revelation of the truth and we can start moving out in it. So, Mark 4:26, Jesus spoke further about God's kingdom in this way. So it's another parable about the kingdom. So come on, tell it, Jesus, I want to know how this kingdom works. God's kingdom develops like this. Right, I'm all ears. I want to hear. How does it develop, Lord? What happens? When a man scatters seed on the ground, it sprouts and grows night and day, whether he sleeps or is awake. You see, once you scatter your seed, you don't just keep going to dig it up and put it back in again. Leave it. Go to sleep. You know, whatever. The natural growth process is taking place irrespective of what he does. It's germinating, it's taking seed. I mean, all those guys in Africa, as we speak, the truth in them is being worked out and is growing and is beginning to germinate. Same as you guys and everywhere else we go, whatever. Manchester, you know. First you see the stalk growing out of the soil. Yes, it takes a while. Then you start to see a stalk coming up out of the soil. Yes, at last. Thank you, Lord. Right, Brenda? Stalk coming out of the soil. And then the head develops. And finally, the full grain in the head. Look, so much is coming your way. It's just begun. The head develops, and finally, the full grain in the head. And when it's ripe, it's time to harvest the crop. It might not be you who harvests it. You might do the sowing and someone else do the harvesting. That's okay. Like these evangelism things, you know, someone else might, you, as you rightly said, you might speak something to someone, they might ring up their mum and something. Listen, a good way to think about it is, good way, 1 to 10, it's evangelism, it's just a helpful way to, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Everyone's got to go from 1, or 0 actually, to 10, and at 10 they get saved, okay? And very often, there's something incremental going on in people's lives. It's very rare they've got no exposure to anything at all and suddenly get saved. They've probably got a grandma praying for them or something, you know, something going on. But, you know, here you get, you have an RE teacher at school says something, and then someone else says something. And you know, some people have the job of moving someone on from 2 to 3. That's what they're called to do. They're not called to see them to 10. Someone else is going to see them to 10. But your job just seems, and by faith, it doesn't matter, you don't have to sort of have proof, you know, just speak the thing, and someone else might get it like that. And then along comes the cocky evangelist and reaps the, you know. And they say it's all down to them being an evangelist, but actually it's all the people who got them from 1 to 9. They get all the glory. But, well, that's it, that's how it works. The evangelist is there to reap in what other people have been sowing. See? So, that's helpful because it takes off the pressure from thinking you've got to see someone saved after this conversation. You know, haven't got to at all. And all that we're doing about the outreach is we're going to invite 2 people each. The outreach is Christmas and whenever it is, whatever it is. And it's just a question of inviting them. It's not a question of... It might move them along from 3 to 4, 5 to 7, 8 to 9, who knows? It might take them from 9 to 10, in which case, praise God. And then God might take us to another church. But that's all right because we're kingdom people. Yeah, doesn't matter. We've impacted them. They've been impacted with the kingdom through our ministry. Praise God. That's all we need to do. Rejoice that God's used us to impact their life. His reign over Israel will be eternal and his kingdom will never end. Never end. Isaiah, the increase of his government and kingdom, there will be no end. The increase of his government, there will be no end. Listen, the kingdom began small, began with the conception of Jesus, a little egg. And it's grown, It's growing. It's growing. And there have been times that have seen a bit darker times through the medieval times or whatever, but it's been growing slowly. God's been watching over it, and the seeds are bearing fruit, and it's growing, and it's growing. And the church is in an incredibly exciting time these days. Jesus is doing amazing things, because over the face of the earth, the church is, don't believe what the media says, the church actually is growing incredibly. Pentecostal church, anyway. Things the Holy Spirit's doing over the face of the earth is incredible. The intensity and acceleration of what God's doing in the church is amazing. And that little thing that started as a little egg is now, and it's going to continue increasing. It will continue increasing. It's not going to stop increasing as we hurtle towards the end of all history. And we'll do the last one here. Luke 4:43. But he told them, this is a good one to end up, because this is like the prophetic spirit, if you like, he puts in us. He says, he told them, Jesus, I have to preach. I have to preach the good news of God's kingdom to the other towns and villages also. This is the reason that God sent me. Like, is that having to? I have to. I'm sure he didn't just say, oh, I have to go and preach this elsewhere. You know, what's the time? We'll fit a few more in there. No, I have to. It's the air I breathe, and everything about my purpose in life is this thing that God's put in me to see it released in other people's lives. I have to. I've sold everything to buy the field, to get the kingdom. The kingdom's now in me. This is my call. This is my purpose. I have to deliver it. And that's the thing that wells up in us of the Spirit. And that's the thing that the church sometimes wants to try and push down and, you know, say, oh, well, calm down. You know, you'll mature out of that. But no, it's a compulsion of the Spirit in our lives that pushes us forward. So we have to do this. We have to preach this. We have to release this. It's like Elihu, you know, I'm a young man, I'm full of spirit, and unless I speak, I will burst. And that's it. That's the prophetic life. Is it comfortable? No. Is it easy? No. Does it look pretty? No. Is it surrounded sometimes by confusion and things we don't understand? Yes. Is it costly? Yes. Are there any instant rewards? No. But is it worth investing your whole life in and all your energy every day? Yes! Not a moment's hesitation. Yes! It's the call of God. And the thing he's equipped you for. And he's put his life in you. And whenever you release that life, seeds are getting spread, and then it's up to the Lord to do what he wants with them. Don't worry what people do with them. As I said earlier, your job is to express it, to speak it, to go where he says go, wherever it is. Nagaland, please, Lord. Wherever it is. I'll probably end up somewhere else now, like Bristol or something. Anyway, just some verses on the kingdom that I think are a fitting end to what we were talking about this morning, the continuity somehow. I don't quite understand, but anyway. And I believe that God wants to just impact any life. I mean, I know some of you are sort of freshly here today, but I wonder if there's something in all I've been saying, something you're saying, I want that. I want that life for the kingdom. And that's what I'm here for. And that's the thing. I don't care what it costs me. That's what I'm called to. And that's what I want to see in my life. You may have been here for years, and you still might be saying, yes, that's what I want. So if that is you, just stand to your feet, because I want to pray for you and want to see this as a fresh start, a fresh new chapter, as you God's given some clarity, and there's something about that life that may or may not make sense to you, but it's there, and you say, God, teach me about the kingdom. I want to know about it. I want to operate in the kingdom. I want to see your power